Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, December 24th, 2007. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the Chief Executive Indie, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. We also empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. And sometimes I get my slogans mixed up. Anyway, today we are here, and we're going to be talking about e-commerce. Now, everybody who has a website that sells something on the Internet has a shopping cart. And sometimes those shopping carts are busier than other times, and our goal is to keep them humming so that while we're nursing our babies and having pedicures and climbing mountains and bungee jumping and stuff like that, that our shopping carts are humming without us. They're busy. We're having fun. So that's the whole point of today's show. We're going to empower you with the e-commerce diva. Her name is Jamila White. She has been an Internet marketing pioneer since 1995. She helps entrepreneurs and small business owners learn and apply proven strategies that increase web sales and traffic. Her consulting firm, Jamila White & Associates, has clients that span the private, public, and nonprofit sectors. Among her accolades for her web productions are Yahoo.com's Pick of the Day and recognition by the New York Times for excellence in education. She is a summa cum laude graduate of Howard University and has developed a superb curriculum for supersizing your web sales at the e-commerce boot camp. She's going to tell us a little bit about that later on in today's show. But for now, we're just going to roll our sleeves up and dive right into the world of e-commerce. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Jamila.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas and happy Hanukkah and happy solstice and happy Kwanzaa and happy New Year and all of that good stuff.
Okay, happy holidays, right?
Right.
Okay, so tell me, let's just dive right in here. How did you become the e-commerce diva?
Well, you know, it's funny. That started out as a nickname that just kind of stuck. I started marketing online back in 1995, and I actually quit my good corporate job at the end of 1996 to go full-time selling products online. And it was real, back then there weren't workshops, there weren't a lot of books, it was very much trial and error, so I kind of learned as I went, and you know, maybe a couple of years later I joined an organization called DC Web Women, which is a network of now like 3,000 or 4,000 women in web professions in the DC area. It's an online network. And whenever someone came on the list and asked a question about e-commerce, someone would say, oh, just go ask Jamila, she's the e-commerce diva. And it kind of stuck. It initially started out as a nickname on the DC Web Women list, and in 2005, I actually decided to brand it and spin off a part of my consulting company and separate out the services I was offering to small businesses from the services I was offering to larger organizations,
mm-hmm.
and called that spinoff e-commerce diva, and that side of the business just really took off. People really remember the name. It's funny. It's, you know, it begs the question, okay, what is an e-commerce diva? And so I think, and it's, plus it's memorable.
Right.
So it stuck, and I rolled with it.
Well, you are rolling. I'm so glad you rolled on over here. Now, you were talking about e-commerce diva and how it kind of stuck, and it sounded really catchy. And everybody pretty much knows what a diva is, but people, even business people, can get a little bit confused when it comes to what e-commerce is. So give us a good definition of that.
Sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of definitions out there, but I define it as when you're doing a transaction online. So you're actually accepting, you're selling something, goods, services, products, and you're accepting a form of payment online. There are people who have websites that market a product or service, but they aren't actually doing any transactions. So I wouldn't count that as officially e-commerce, although it may fall under e-marketing or internet marketing or e-business. But for general purposes, I consider e-commerce to be someone completing a sales transaction online.
Okay, all right, so we're talking about commerce moving here, exchange.
Right, show me the money, right.
Right, it's the money.
Get the money.
Okay, so, you know, that's a really good point that you make, that it can be, it can encompass a lot of other things, but just so our listeners understand, what we're going to focus on today is the financial element. We're going to sort of strip away all the other layers and get right down to the nitty-gritty, because without any commerce, you won't have any e-marketing.
Exactly, exactly. And the things people want to hear most about usually are increasing sales and increasing traffic.
Right, right. And you know what is so amazing is that I'm taking some financial classes, personal financial classes, not too long ago, and one of the things that the leader of the class was discussing was what he called side jobs. And of course, you know, my radar went off because of
side jobs.
Indie business ownership, if you're making money off of something that you're doing. But anyway, he shared with us a story about a woman who many, many years ago, about a decade or so ago, started selling a recipe for a pecan pie out of the back of a popular woman's magazine. She charged $2 for it. And people would mail in $2, in paper format, and she would mail them a copy of this recipe.
Okay.
She was making thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, I bet.
And so what struck me, of course,
wow,
is that, you translate that into the Internet, and she wasn't even making the pie. She was just printing something off her computer.
Exactly.
So
that's awesome.
So the thing is that, if you can be targeted, and, e-commerce can work for just about anybody, and that's where the diva comes in. So let's talk a little bit, Jamil, about why it's important for us as online businesses, even though we may be artists or jewelry makers or soap makers or whatever, we really want to pursue our passion, but, we really have to wrap our hands around this. Why is it necessary for us to have a better understanding of e-commerce than just, let's pay for a good shopping cart and hope
they
stop?
Well, these days it's a good time to be a small business. Like I mentioned before, when I started, there was not a lot of help. And the programs that were out there, the shopping cart programs back in 1996, were so expensive for just the most basic functionality. I think I paid $1,500
mm-hmm.
for a shopping cart, and all it did was add up orders. It didn't have all the features that you see nowadays,
right,
that you can get for free or for pretty inexpensively, pennies. And so, this is a great time to be a small business because there are so many resources out there. And even, especially if you're in the craft, soap, food, baking, jewelry, anything that you're creating yourself, there's even a marketplace online for that called Etsy, E-T-S-Y, where you can get a free online storefront as long as you're making your own stuff. And you
right.
get it. It's no out-of-pocket money. They just charge you a small percent if you sell something. But it's important mm-hmm. because that's where the buyers are. You got to be online these days. If you are selling something, you got to be online these days because people are buying online.
And, everybody kind of knows that they have a website.
Right.
But what you're...
Not everybody has e-commerce.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about that because there's a lot of listeners whose eyes glaze over.
Well, I was just about to talk about that because I think the biggest thing that's happening now is not always a money issue. It's a fear issue. It's an intimidation factor because there's so much... there's perceived to be such a big learning curve that it's like, oh, gosh, I can't even think about it. I just figured out how to get my computer to send email, let alone try to set up shop to actually buy and sell and transact online. So a lot of times people get intimidated by the process.
Mm-hmm.
But e-commerce is something that largely, there's resources out there, there's workshops. I teach workshops. I have articles. But it's largely something that you learn by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so afraid to make a mistake, and women in particular are so afraid to make a mistake because as little girls we're taught, first of all, you sit there, you be good, and you be quiet. That's the first thing we're taught. The other thing we're taught is when you do open your mouth, you better be correct.
Mm-hmm.
When you do put yourself out there, you better have all your ducks in a row. And so we're so afraid of making a mistake that we don't want to try e-commerce for fear that we do it wrong.
Well, then there won't be much of a business after that. So,
and that's the truth. And not only that, but even if you're primarily selling locally, for example, let's say you sell at craft shows, you still need to be online because a lot of times people are looking online to find local places to shop. They don't look at the Yellow Pages anymore. They go online and they search for something in their neighborhood or in their city, and then they go to whatever comes up on their computer. And if you don't have a strong...
My yellow pages goes from the front porch to the back porch where the trash is.
Exactly. Exactly. And
absolutely right about that. So
I do my searching online first. I only turn to the Yellow Pages if I don't find what I need online quickly enough, or let's say I need a local plumber and I want to see who's got the big splashy coupon so I can get my discount. But for the most part, I still look online, you know, to find local events, to find local craft shows, vending events, and to find local products. And so if you aren't representing online, you're still missing out on local walk-in or walk-by sales.
So, Jamila, what are some of the terms we need to define up front in order to have a basic but intelligent conversation about e-commerce?
A good question. First thing is shopping cart. And that's basically a tool, whether it's software or a program, that allows someone to place an order to tell you what they want to buy and to send you a payment, okay, or to arrange to have a payment sent to you. Sometimes shopping carts come integrated with a payment processor like a merchant account. A merchant account is what allows you to accept credit cards. And there, so sometimes, for example, you have PayPal, which is part merchant account and part shopping cart, but the two functions are actually different. So telling someone having someone tell you what they want to order, that's the shopping cart side. Then they send the payment, which can be facilitated by the shopping cart.
Okay.
But you still need to be able to process the payment. So you need a payment processor, gateway, or merchant account that's on the payment side. You need a shopping cart, which is more like an order form, a cash register.
Okay.
So if you think about the traditional store model, you put things in your shopping cart, and you walk up to the register, right? And then you tell the register, you give them the money. Now, if you give them a credit card, they still need something separate that processes the credit card.
Right.
But the
right.
register totals everything up with the tax and, you know, coupons and whatever. So that's basically, when you're looking online, that's the shopping cart functionality.
Okay.
Then the payment functionality, which sometimes might be even provided by the same company, but it's still two different functions, that's the ability to accept the credit card or to accept the online payment and to actually move the money from one place to the next.
That's a really good explanation. I would encourage listeners who may be struggling to kind of visualize that to get out a piece of paper and rewind a little bit and replay that, because what Jamila just said was a nice visual representation of what just happened, what happens in an online transaction.
Right. So like a shopping, in a traditional store environment, you can have a cash register that's very fancy and it adds everything up, but if there's no money inside, you know, if it's not connected to a credit card processor, which is separate, then the actual transaction doesn't take place. You can still, someone can still tell you what they're buying, and you can scan it and enter it in and or do whatever in a cash register. That's the shopping cart online. But
right.
you still need to be able to accept and process the payment.
Right, 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 of course. And one without the other is just absolutely useless.
Exactly. You got to have both. It can be two separate companies, or it can be a bundled package, but you still need to have both forms of functionality in order to get everything going.
So let's talk quickly about each one of those then. Let's just take the shopping cart one first. There's so many options out there.
There are, and it can be very confusing.
You already have a shopping cart. Of course, you want to evaluate it against some basic parameters. But, you know, let's just start at the beginning. How do you choose a shopping cart?
That's a great question. And the first thing to do is, if you're already in business and you're already accepting sales offline, let's say you do craft shows or whatever, and you accept credit cards or something like that, the first thing you want to do is make sure that whatever shopping cart you get is compatible with what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're already in business, you don't want to get something that's not compatible with your bank account, with your merchant account. If you use Quicken or QuickBooks or something like that to manage your finances and your contact list, if you're using anything to manage your business on the computer, you want to get something that's compatible with what you're already using so you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
That's the first place to start.
Okay.
And the best place is to ask, get the merchant account first, and then you get the shopping cart.
Okay.
Not the other way around.
Okay, I'm going to reverse my question then and ask you to help us choose a merchant account, and then we'll get to the shopping cart. But right now we have to take our first break. We're going to come back and talk with the e-commerce diva, Jamila White, about how to choose the best merchant account for you. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. Essential Wholesale has a variety of bulk packaged, unscented cosmetic ingredients to help you repackage them, color them, and scent them to your heart's desire so you can give your customers what you want in less time so you can spend more time growing your business. For more information, visit EssentialWholesale.com. So before we took our break, Jamila, we were talking about how to pick a merchant account. So let's
Right. And the reason why you should pick your merchant account before you pick your shopping cart is your merchant account needs to work with your bank. And it's much easier to switch shopping carts than it is to switch bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking for a merchant account, first you start with your own bank, the place where you do business and you have your checking account for your business. That's
right.
Where you start first. You get a quote from them. They're probably going to ask you questions about your anticipated sales volume, you know, whether it's online or offline, and, you know, the kind of business you have and so on and so forth. Then they'll give you a quote. Then you ask them, is this your best offer? And they'll tell you probably yes. You take that quote and you shop it around. Another place to look is if you belong to any professional network. Sometimes there are member discounts for merchant accounts. If you belong to any shopping clubs like Costco, Sam's, BJ's, they have, as part of their business or executive membership, discounted rates on merchant accounts. You shop there. A company that I use is called Practice Pay Solutions online. I got a great rate from them. So you want to shop it around. You want to get at least three different quotes from three different companies, starting with your bank. Okay, and then you make them compete for your business. If you get a better deal, your bank has an incentive to keep you. So you get a better deal from one of those other companies. You go back to your bank and say, hey, I want to stick with you guys, but I got a better deal. Here's what they're offering me. Can you beat it? That's what I did with J. Blossom. I started out with a quote from Bank of America. But J. Blossom is my bath and body products company. And I started out with a quote from Bank of America. I shopped it around three different places. Somebody beat Bank of America's deal, and I took that deal back to Bank of America, and they beat it by another tenth of a percent on the discount. And so I ended up sticking with Bank of America for my merchant account, but I got the best deal in the end, which was way better than the original deal that Bank of America offered me.
Okay.
So what will happen is once you get your merchant account, they'll tell you what kind of payment processor they use. They'll give you the name of a company or the name of a system. You then take that name and you look at the shopping carts to make sure that they're compatible with your payment gateway or your payment processor from your bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start the process. The other thing you do, aside from the payment side, is you kind of have to sit down and think, okay, what are the basic features that I need? You know, where am I shipping to? Are all of my products the same size, such as I only ship CDs or books? Or am I shipping a variety of merchandise that are different sizes and different weights, like gifts? Will I need to do sales promotions and offer things like coupons or discounts on certain orders or to certain customers? Am I doing wholesale and retail, and do I need to have those two functions separated out, or am I only doing one? And you want to basically pick a shopping cart that you can be comfortable with for at least a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just think right now I'm getting started, I have three products, but where are you going to be a year from now? Because you want a cart that's going to grow with you. And, you know, if you end up with 20 products next year that have, you know, different weights and have, you want to ship according to the weight of the product, you want a shopping cart that can calculate that for you. So you sit down first and you write out what are the basic features that you need. Don't even start looking at carts until you've done that. because a lot of times people get, you know, so caught up in picking a cart first before they've done any other thing, including the merchant accounts, including determining what features they need. Because if you start off that way, you're going to end up with such a wide variety to choose from that you won't even have a manageable list. And what you want to do is get it down to a short list.
Uh-huh.
And there are some great carts that I recommend that work well for a variety of situations. Yahoo Stores works well. A company called Volusion, VolusionN.com, Volusion works well. One of my favorites, which is free on the basic version and $8 a month for the pro version, is called Mals E-Commerce, M-A-L-S, and the website is mal-s.com.
What do you think about PayPal, Jamila?
I was just about to talk about PayPal, and I am a fan for PayPal if you are just getting started. Now, you have to keep in mind that PayPal is a two-in-one company. They're known primarily for being a payment processor, both a pseudo merchant account, and now they actually offer real merchant accounts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have a very basic shopping cart. And if you're just getting started and you need a very inexpensive, simple way to add a buy now button or add to cart button to your website, mm-hmm. PayPal is a great way to go as an entry-level option. But you may find that you're going to very quickly outgrow it if you start building up your sales. And it's very limited in what it can do as a shopping cart. So if you have to offer, you know, you want to offer a coupon that says take 10% off your first order or something like that, PayPal can't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, it can total up things, it can add sales tax, it can add a very basic shipping calculation, like you can't ship by weight, but you can ship by price.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like $0 to $25 or shipping costs is, you know, $5 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which may or may not work for your business. So, you know, but it's still a great place to start if you're on a budget and you want to get up and running quickly and it's easy to set up. You don't have to be a programmer. You just cut and paste into your web page
mm-hmm.
the buy now buttons.
Okay. Well, that's...
I'm a huge fan of PayPal.
Okay.
You know, I think that there are a lot of options out there, but I've been using PayPal since 1999 in a variety of ways. I still use it as one of my payment options.
Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, probably a good majority of listeners are using PayPal because it is so easy and it does give them the ability to at least get started and not really have to wade through a lot of the details at least at first because there are so many details to wade through when you're starting.
Oh, absolutely. And even, okay, I'm the e-commerce diva. I know e-commerce inside and out. I'm a web designer. I can build my own websites with fancy shopping carts. And for J Blossom, I used PayPal exclusively for the first 8 months
mm-hmm.
When I launched the J Blossom website simply because I didn't have the time set up the cart the way I wanted to right away because I was literally too busy stirring pots of lotion.
Right.
And so I said, you know, I was working on putting up a more elaborate cart, but in the meantime, PayPal worked in a pinch. And it what I thought would be 3 months turned into 8 months before I was able to actually launch the site with the mm-hmm. upgraded shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't want anybody to think, well, Jamila's just doing different things, and she's an e-commerce diva, and it's easy for her to say because she could do things herself because
right.
she's very technically savvy. I'm still saying PayPal is a great option no matter what your skill level.
Right.
And it will get you, the good thing about PayPal is if you want to start a business tonight, you can be on PayPal and be up and running tonight.
It's not something
that takes days or weeks or months to implement.
Yeah, that's such a great thing. That's one of the wonderful things about, as you said earlier, it's a great time to be in business because
absolutely.
It's so easy. If you have something of value that's quality to offer, then, you know, you have to try really hard not to be able to move forward with it using technology.
Right now, there's no excuse. And even today, I still accept PayPal payments
mm-hmm.
For anyone who chooses to pay that way. A lot of people love PayPal because they don't have to give their individual credit card to a merchant that they don't know.
Right, right.
And when some people hate PayPal as well, so I advise, you know, people if you have an option to accept multiple kinds of payments, mm-hmm. both traditional credit cards and PayPal, to do that. But I still get about, I'd say, 20% of my orders that come in are paid for with PayPal.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good amount. So let's face it. No matter how good your sales are, they can always be better. So
absolutely.
Can you give us, you know, let's just say we already have either PayPal or some other merchant account and shopping cart mechanism in place. what are three or four things that any business can do between now and January 1st? Now, this is a week's time. It's usually kind of quiet.
This is a great time to work on your website because the holiday rush is over, and hopefully if you're doing well, you had a holiday rush. The worst time to be tinkering with your website is in the middle of a holiday rush. You want to do it during your slow period. Right.
Give you a chance to get a pen and paper because Jamila's going to give us some.
We're about to break it down.
And I want you also, if you have a question as you've been listening to our conversation, do join us. The toll-free number is 800-773-0355. Okay, Jamila, take it away. Now, here we're going to be, after tomorrow, everybody's, had their libations and ham and turkey and all that stuff. Got a couple of days of peace and quiet. What can you do to get that shopping cart purring?
Good question. The first thing to do is start with some goals for your website. Start with what kind of sales do you want? What's your volume that you want for the next year? Mm-hmm. How does that break down on a month-to-month basis? Okay, mm-hmm. So you have a number that you're shooting for. A lot of people just say, well, I just want to make money with my website. Well, that's so vague that you're apt not to hit it, okay? You aim for everything, you end up hitting nothing. Pick
right.
a number, make it both realistic and reasonable, but also attainable, and go for it. So start with some benchmarks. And I actually am going to talk a lot about how to set benchmarks for your website on January 23rd. It's a free workshop by telephone. You can learn more about it on my website, ecommercediva.com. But okay, so that's the first thing. Set some benchmarks. The second thing is go through your website through the eyes of a customer, not through the eyes of yourself, and remove things that are an obstacle to easy navigation and easy transactions. And the first thing on that list that needs to go is a flash intro. I hate to tell you, but nobody cares about your fancy spending, rotating, jumping up and down logo but you. Okay, so get rid of the flash animation as an introduction to your website if you have an e-commerce website.
Okay.
It's an impediment to sales.
Okay.
That's the second thing to do. The third thing
That's not bad news because flash animation costs more and the search engine.
It does, but it's so funny. People say they hate it when they're shopping on other sites. When they get their own site, it's one of the first things they do because they're mesmerized by their own logo.
Right, and the search engines
No, they don't. And aside from the search engines, they piss off your customers because
right,
it takes
right.
someone an average of 4 to 8 visits to your website before they actually make a sale.
There you go. That's,
make a purchase. So even if they liked the flash intro the first time, which they probably didn't, imagine how they feel on the 7th time.
Right. Who wants to see it again?
Who wants to see it? So if you think about all the major shopping sites, Amazon.com and Target.com and BestBuy.com, all these major sites, none of them have that. And there's a reason for it. And they invest hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, into testing their websites every year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free tip that, they paid to learn this information that flash intros reduce your sales.
Mm-hmm.
So get rid of it.
Okay.
On the first half of your website, the top half of the home page, you got to have a nice big photo of something great that you're selling or something people using your product. You'd be amazed at how many people are trying to sell something online with a physical product with just words.
Or even a great big huge picture of their logo.
Right. Your logo doesn't sell products. So the most prominent thing on your website needs to be a photo of your best-selling product or your featured product. But it needs to be on the top of the page and so that someone can see it before they have to scroll. Because if they don't see something they're interested in, they're not going to scroll down anyway. So if your logo is taking up the top half of your website, make it smaller and make a picture of the product most prominent.
Okay.
Okay, so because pictures sell. I don't care what you're selling, whether you're selling services or products, pictures sell, especially if you're selling something handcrafted or something like a beauty product. How am I going to describe to you over in words what a soap is? A lot of times I want to see those brilliant flecks of color and the creamy-looking texture of your beautiful handmade soap.
Right.
But,
right.
Or you've got a picture on there that's smaller than like a postage stamp, and I'm just sitting in front of my computer squinting my eyes. I'm your customer, squinting my eyes, trying to see what the picture is. Make the picture big and beautiful. Assume that the person looking at your site can't read a word.
Well,
how are you going to convey them?
It's the window people see when they're walking down the street.
Exactly. It's the window people see when they're walking down the street. It's the displays and shelves that they see when they walk in your store. Even the grocery store has beautiful displays of stacked up fruits and things on the ends of the aisles. And you know, you've got to display your merchandise in a way that's appealing to the customer online. You know, I talk to so many people who do really well at craft shows, and they create these beautiful tables at craft shows with these beautiful baskets of goodies and things stacked up and arranged so nicely, and they're so personable, and they tell you all about their product. And then you get to their website, you can't even see the product, and it's kind of just not inviting, and then there's no information about the product. It's just a picture and a price. And, you know, where's the salesmanship? You know, all of the things that people ask you about when they talk to you about your product and all the things that you tell them about when you're describing your product, you need to describe it into the words on the website. So talk about the scent and the texture and the size. And, you know, does the shirt run large or small? Is it a men's fit or unisex fit, or is it a, you know, a tailored woman's fit T-shirt? You know, does the size run large or small? Is it longer in the, you know, cuff? Or, you know, you describe everything. Assume that the person cannot pick up your product and touch it and turn it over and try it on, because they can't.
Right.
So everything that they would do, all of the sensory information that they're picking up with all five of their senses, their hearing and their touch and their taste and their smell and their sight, you have to address all five of those senses when you're describing your product, no matter what you're selling, whether you're selling widgets or soap. You know, you've got to describe the entire experience, not just what's in it, but what is it going to make you feel like? Is this going to relax you, make you feel powerful, make you feel sexy? I mean, how is it going to make you feel when you're using it or after you've used it?
And, you know, for a lot of people, just going to a couple of websites that they either buy from because they, you know, they do that regularly, or they would buy from them.
Exactly.
And just writing down, what, 10 or 15 things that entice you. And then
what entices you about it, and not just what are the features, but most importantly, what are the benefits? So if you tell me this is a great lotion because it's got shea butter, well, tell me what does shea butter do that makes it so great.
Right.
You know, and I had a wake-up call myself just 2 days ago when I was explaining to my dad some of the properties of my own lotion. I was talking about the shea butter and how much I love shea butter. You know, he looked at me and he said, what shea butter?
Right.
I talk about shea butter. What's shea butter?
It must be really good, baby, but what is it?
But what is it? And I realized at that moment that I'm going on and on about features and not about benefits. So you talk about, well, it's got shea butter, but shea butter is moisturizing, and it's this and it's that. Okay, so, or if you're selling, you know, a workbook, you know, it's got 256 pages. That's the feature. But that translates into the benefit of everything you need all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So every feature has a benefit. You know, if I told you a computer or an iPod that I'm selling has 8 gigabytes, okay, well, that's the feature. But the benefit, it means you can load up every song that you've ever wanted to hear on it without running out of space.
Right.
So you have to explain the benefit of everything.
You're not talking to a colleague.
Right, and explain the size, because as I'm looking at the picture on the screen, I want to know, is this the actual size? Is it bigger than it looks? Is it smaller than it looks? How does it compare to the other thing? I mean, I think everybody at some point has ordered something online, and when they got it, it was tiny, and you were thinking, it looks a lot bigger. You know, you can actually describe the measurement.
You take care of that. We're going to have to take our final break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. and prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking with Jamila White, the e-commerce diva. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to ask about your website, your merchant account, your shopping account, what e-commerce you're using, 800-773-0355 is the number. So, Jamila, we were talking about taking a look at, you know, well, first of all, let me say how amazing it is that when we started really narrow here, we talked specifically about exchanging cash for goods and services on the Internet, and we have already broadened out just in this short radio show to the size of the photographs on your website.
That's right.
It's amazing how much of this stuff is intertwined, and if you have a piece of the puzzle that's not addressed, you really could be shooting yourself in the foot. Just because you have great photographs at your website doesn't mean you're displaying them right. Just because you have a good shopping cart doesn't mean you're using it right. So let's
right. But you know what? That raises a really interesting point, because when people start out, they have usually have a budget, and they usually end up putting 100% of their budget into building the site.
Hmm.
And then they have nothing left for product photos, nothing left to market the site, nothing left to attract people to the site, nothing left to get the site updated if they've hired an outside designer.
Hmm.
And, you know, if you've got more, whatever part of money that you've got, you have to spend some of that money on some good quality photos.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to
that
web design.
That is so important. I agree with you.
Because you can take a beautiful photo and make a very simple design around it,
mm-hmm,
without investing a lot of money in the design, and the photo becomes a design. Whereas I've been very challenged as a web designer to take a horrible, crappy-looking product photo and make it into a good web design, and it's so much easier to do it the other way around, and it's less costly to start,
mm-hmm,
out with good photos,
mm-hmm,
and go inexpensive on web design.
Yes, I really so wish, I hope everyone who listens to Indie Business Radio, all the dozens and dozens of shows we have, just heard that one sentence, because
it absolutely does. So spend the money that, you know, people spend all their money in oftentimes the wrong place. When you're on a budget, put that money into webs, good product photos.
Right, you got to have
them. Get fairly inexpensively. If you can't afford a professional photographer, go to a local photography class at a community college, at a university, at an art school, and you will probably find lots of students there who are pretty good photographers,
mm-hmm,
but who know about lighting and all the other kinds of things to get your products taken very product photos taken very inexpensively. The other thing is, half of that budget needs to go towards marketing and maintenance.
Yeah.
So if you've got $1,000, don't spend $1,000 just on having the site built.
Right.
That means you've got about $300 to $400 to have the site built, and the rest goes to photos, marketing, and maintenance.
Right. You really do have to be smart with those dollars. So let's say you've got a shopping cart, you've got a merchant account. You know, do shopping carts figure into search engine optimization? And this is one question.
They do.
It occurs to me that Google has a shopping cart,
mm-hmm,
service.
Google has a payment processor.
Okay. So,
Google,
yeah,
Checkout. But
yeah,
not quite a shopping cart, but it's a
right.
payment processor.
Right. I think it's called Checkout, actually.
Yep.
Google Checkout.
Checkout.
I have a question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but it occurs to me that for e-commerce sites that use Google's Checkout service, for which Google is paid per sale on a commission, how can we know that? I mean, we know that when someone buys an ad on Google, they're going to get top placement.
Right.
But traditionally, the idea is that the more sticky, the more attractive your website is outside of paying Google to display your results first, the more sticky your website is, the more likely you are, based on search terms, to be at the top of the search engine rankings.
Right.
Do you know whether they give preference to companies that use Checkout?
That's an excellent question. And, of course, publicly they say no.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of discussion within the industry on whether or not it's true. I tell
really?
You what they do, and they acknowledge that they do, is they put a nice little
Google checkout graphic on your ad that makes it stand out more, even if it isn't at the top.
Okay, so on your ad or on your result, even if you don't have
on your sponsored link ad, like for example, over on the top on the right hand side of the page, those are sponsored links that people pay for, and if they'll put a Google checkout button inside your ad, you know, for free, but that draws the eye over there. So they say that they don't give any preference to shopping carts that have Google. However, a number of shopping carts that have integrated Google checkout into one of their, you know, pre-integrated acceptable forms of payment, you know, that where you, if you get the shopping cart, you don't have to do any extra configuring to make it work with Google checkout. You know, sometimes those do see, it seems that they appear more closely higher up in the search engine rankings. You know, but what's a bigger issue in terms of shopping carts is not so much whether it takes Google checkout or not, because right now Google checkout is still a little buggy with some of the different shopping carts. It's a pretty new system, and they haven't worked out all the kinks yet, and some of the shopping cart makers are saying it's hard to work with on the developer side. But another, one of the more important issues with shopping carts in Google is some of the shopping carts that generate a dynamic URL or a dynamic web address when you're shopping. So sometimes if you're shopping on a site, you may notice that in addition to the website address with the product page that you're looking on, it also has a string of letters and numbers, and it says session ID. So it's basically saying for, you know, each person that's shopping on the site gets assigned their own session ID, so we know, you know, that your shopping cart belongs to you, and we don't mix the shopping carts together.
Mm-hmm.
That's called dynamic generation of URLs, and so those pages are dynamically generated. Sometimes, because it's got session IDs, it's a little bit harder for Google to actually index and include those pages in its general search ranking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the issues that's being faced by, you know, different kinds of shopping carts. You know, that's kind of like an advanced topic. So I don't want that to, you know, discourage anyone from getting started with shopping carts and wondering if they're going to get in Google. You know, I don't want that to become an issue if you're just getting started. Don't even pay attention to that yet. But
right.
It is an issue that some people are, you know, keeping tabs on, especially
mm-hmm.
for moderate to high volume sellers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all need to be concerned about that issue. Thank you for raising that. So what sorts of things, what are the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to e-commerce? I mean, we already talked about some of them that have to do with
mm-hmm.
design.
Right, like the flash is one of them. And, you know, I would say it's funny because everybody wants me to say, well, not wants me to say, but they anticipate that I'm going to say something about using the wrong shopping cart or something like that. It's not. You know, the biggest mistakes in e-commerce have to do with the biggest mistakes in business, and it is not having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I am working with students or people I'm consulting with, there's a difference. There's people who succeed and people who don't. And the biggest common denominator in the people who do really, really well, even if they're starting from zero, from absolutely nothing and not knowing anything about the Internet, is people who take the time to plan and to create goals and who track on a regular basis the progress of their website.
So when it comes to shopping carts, one of the things you want to look at then is the tools that your shopping cart gives you to track sales, to track where your traffic's coming from. And to
exactly. That's helpful, but even if you don't have that, even if you're using something as basic as PayPal and it doesn't have that, you know, I have a spreadsheet that you can download from my website. If you go to ecommercediva.com, you look for the January 23rd free teleclass called 3 Magic Numbers for E-commerce Success, where I talk about how to watch your stats and what to look for and how to calculate them if your program doesn't do it automatically for you. I have a free spreadsheet. It's Microsoft Excel. So you just plug in your numbers of what your sales volume is every month, you know, what your total number of visitors are every month, and it will calculate for you the different statistics that you need to manage your web business, such as conversion rate. Conversion rate is the number.
A lot of visitors and not a lot of sales, then.
Right.
It probably means that you're doing a good job of getting people to come to your site, but not a good
right, exactly. Because so many people assume that if their website's not doing well, they assume that it's because they don't have enough traffic.
Well, and a lot of
more traffic is better. That's not always the problem.
Right.
You know,
click-throughs are not all they're cracked up to be.
They're not. It's a conversion. It's how many people, how many visitors do you convert into buyers?
Right.
And that's a percentage, and that's what the most important number that you can have.
Exactly.
If you've got 1% conversion, which means that for every 100 visitors to your website, you get one order.
Hmm.
Okay, if you you get 1% conversion, but you attract 10,000 visitors, mm-hmm. that means that you're turning away mm-hmm. 9,900 visitors to your site.
Right.
So your conversion rate is more important, actually, than your actual traffic number.
So you want to find out what those people are doing when they get there.
Exactly, or else you're spending all of your time on recruiting people to your site who aren't buying.
Right.
And that there could be a number of reasons for that. It could be the website itself, the way that it's structured. It could be that there's not enough information. It could be that you have no keep-in-touch strategy. And
mm-hmm.
one of the most important things that you can have on your website on every single page is a newsletter sign-up box.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the home page, but every single page, and give them an enticing offer. Don't just say sign up for our newsletter. Nobody wants more newsletters.
Right.
But they
right.
do want specials. They want discounts. If you say sign up to get our discounts, sign up to get our specials, sign up to take 10% off your first order, sign up and get our free report on 10 reasons why blue widgets are hot this season, you'll get a better number of people signing up for your newsletter. That's the gold mine of e-commerce. Everybody wants to know what's the magic shopping cart I can get to make my website a success. Any shopping cart will do if you've got a good product and you've got good marketing. But one of the most overlooked parts of online marketing, the meat of online marketing, is in the mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Building up your mailing list, that's the gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because, once again, it takes people between 4 to 8 visits to your website to even make their first purchase. So how is it that you think that they're going to get there the second and third time? Even if they love your site and they love your product the way it looks and they bookmark it, they're going to forget. If they're like me, I have 1,000 bookmarks on my computer, of which only I probably looked at 10 in the last 2 months, you
right.
know, because you bookmark it, then you forget it. But
right.
you want to keep in touch with them, and that's where their mailing list comes in.
Right, right. That's really
That's where the gold is, and that you can do for free. Go to yahoogroups.com, and you can get the most basic mailing list. And for, you know, between $10 and $20 a month, you can go to constantcontact.com or Aweber, AWEBER.com, and get you a great, attractive, nicely formatted newsletter and mailing list management software all in one.
Right, and it is not expensive. And,
it's
you know,
not.
It really, if
you're telling me you can't spend $10 a month or for free to go to Yahoo Groups, then you don't need to have a website.
You don't need to have a business.
Don't need to have one. I see fancy-smancy websites that cost $10,000 with no mailing list, and I just shake my head because I know some people who spent nothing or less than $100 on a website and have a great mailing list, and they're doing really great sales.
Have a great business. So, Jamila, tell us a little bit about how we can learn more about you, and I understand you have a boot camp coming up now.
I do. Well, my website's got lots of information. It's got my free newsletter. It's got tips and tricks and articles. It's ecommercediva.com, all one word.
All right.
And it's got information about all of my upcoming workshops and speaking appearances, including a free workshop I'm doing January 23rd, which is Wednesday night. It's free. It's by telephone. And it's a sneak preview of my 6-week boot camp, which starts in February. I have a 6-week Supersize Your Web Sales Teleboot Camp, which you take once a week by telephone, plus mm-hmm. you get one-on-one consultation and help from me on your website. It's not just theory about what works on the Internet. We're going to talk specifically about what works for you, and I purposely maintain a very small group, and it tends to sell out every time, so go early. And for that, you can there's an early bird registration, but check out the free newsletter and the free workshop on January 23rd.
Okay.
If you happen to be listening after January 23rd, the recording is going to be available as well.
All right. Well, check it out, guys. Jamila White at ecommercediva.com. Thank you for joining me today on Indie Business Radio, Jamila. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas. And
likewise.
And I want to encourage you, my listeners, to take some time off. Enjoy yourself this holiday. I have just moved past a huge milestone. This show has been on the Internet for over 2 years now.
Oh, wow. Has it been 2 years? Congratulations.
Every week. So I just want to thank guests like you, Jamila, all of my guests from this year and last year, and everyone have a very, very happy new year. I hope you'll visit IndieBusinessBlog.com and IndieBusinessForum.com to continue the conversation. And as always, this is Donna Maria signing off my last show of 2007. Enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.